Hey everyone, welcome back. Welcome back to the Letters and Layers podcast, your award-winning podcast for all things books, mental health, wellness, life lessons, streams of consciousness, and everything in between. This is your host, Amaka. Welcome back, and welcome to any new listeners. Thank you for joining me. It is Saturday, November 22nd, when I am recording, a little bit earlier than when I usually record because I am going out of town to New York for Thanksgiving and I'm leaving on Monday, so just in a couple of days. I just wanted to make sure this episode was at least put down, that I recorded the audio so that I can just edit at my leisure while I'm in New York and not have to worry about my setup while I'm there. So I am recording almost over a week ahead, which is great for me. I should probably do this more often. But I'm just so comfortable and can set up so quickly that usually I record like 1 to 3 days ahead of time. Sometimes the day of. I try not to do that, but sometimes that happens. But yeah, anyway, it is Saturday, November 22nd. I am looking out to a pretty nice view, just lovely light blue sky, some scattered clouds, feeling gratitude in this moment. And I am very excited to have all of next week off. I've been kind of counting down the past couple of weeks, just getting to this point where I'm not working. I think I'm off for like 12 or 13 days, which is great. I'm super happy. I have little things here and there that I'm going to need to tend to, but I'm not seeing patients. So that'll be a nice break. Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to New York. I'm looking forward to seeing my family who I haven't seen all year. I'm looking forward to going to the city, going to the holiday markets, maybe doing a little shopping. I'm looking forward to seeing a good friend of mine who I'm going with to see the Hell's Kitchen play, and then we're going to do dinner. But yeah, I don't have too many crazy plans while I'm in New York. I'm just going to be happy to be there and soak it all in while I can. But yeah, I am doing really good in this moment. Had a bit of a self-care day yesterday. Got my eyebrows done, got my nails done. Just did a simple fall manicure in like a burnt caramel color. It's really beautiful. Maybe I'll do like a video short or reel or something and show them. I'm showing it on YouTube right now whenever this video goes up. So yeah, really love my manicure. Got my eyebrows done. I'm getting my retie tomorrow for my locks. It's in a bun right now. If you're watching online, then you see my whole situation. But yeah, I'm feeling really good. And I know that I've been talking about getting into Matriarch. To be honest, I have been kind of starting and stopping the book, but I will finish. I'm at the point where Miss Tina has moved to San Diego, California with her cousin, I believe, Linda. So that's where I am in the book right now. I'm still in part one and I'm making my way through, just a little slower than I thought. So I promise I will finish the book. I promise it will be one or two episodes, but I'm thinking now it'll be at the top of the year after I come back from my break. So probably the January 15th and February 1st episodes will be Matriarch. Fingers crossed. I figured the last two episodes of the year, which is crazy to say because this is coming out on December 1st, would kind of just be me talking about life, my life, my life this year, sharing some personal news, and just kind of recapping what this year has been for me so far. As you can see from the title, I'm having a baby. And it's crazy to say this. Oh my God. I've been gestating. I have been gestating for 20 weeks. I am already halfway in my pregnancy and I'm having a boy. It's still so surreal to me. My first baby, and I'm already so proud of him. I had my anatomy scan last week, so they usually do that around the halfway mark just to make sure everything's growing according to plan. He has all his parts. He's even like on the higher end of the percentile with some of his body parts, which honestly doesn't surprise me because I'm a big person as far as height, as far as stature. I'm about 5'9 and change in height, and I'm not skinny, but I'm not fat either. Like, I have muscle and, you know, I have weight on my body. So do my family members. So does my husband. He is about my height, a little taller, and he is muscular. Ran track. Like, you know, we have pretty tall and, you know, big people in our family. Both my brothers are over 6 feet. Like, you know, so I think his femur was measuring like 88th percentile. So when the ultrasound tech told me, I was like, well, yeah, that tracks. So he's growing really well. He was super chill during the anatomy scan. She was like, oh my God, he's just letting me fly through this. I was like, he's taking after his mama because I tend to be, well, from what people tell me, I have a rather calm and chill personality. So I'm hoping he takes after me with that. So yeah, I am already super proud of him. I found out August 2nd officially at night, like overnight, that I was pregnant, even though I was pretty sure by August 1st. I came back from my trip to Portugal in July, and then 2 weeks later, I had a positive test. And that luteal phase between ovulation / conception and, or let's say ovulation to when I would have expected my period, was like unlike anything I'd ever experienced before. Like, I was having mild waves of nausea. I was having cramping, which sometimes I have, but this one was different. I was having like metallic taste in my mouth, which I never get. I had one day when I felt extremely exhausted in a way where you might be concerned that you're getting very sick. That was just one day, but then it went away. I had moments where like my heart would jump up in heart rate and I couldn't catch my breath. Like, these were all like fleeting symptoms during that 2 week period. And then on August 1st, I had the weirdest craving for a hamburger. And there's this burger spot in Chicago called NADC Burger, which my husband and I love. And when he got back from work, I was like, do you want to go to NADC? He was like, sure. So we went and he offered me a sip of his beer and I declined it because I was like, I'm pretty sure I'm pregnant. And he was like, okay, tell me how you're feeling. And I told him and he was like, okay, we'll see. And that night and that day too, that Friday, when we went out, I was like peeing all day, more frequently than usual. Mind you, this whole 2 weeks, like I was on Reddit reading other people's experiences, like of who were actively trying and things like that. Some people's experiences were nothing like mine. Some people's were similar. Yeah. So I was like peeing more that day. I had that weird craving for that burger. And that's when I was pretty convinced, like with like all the other symptoms I was experiencing. And yeah, I couldn't even really sleep that night, the night of August 1st going into the 2nd, because I had to pee anyway. And I was convinced. So I had bought a couple of pregnancy tests the week prior, I think. And I took one and it wasn't even a couple of seconds and it was like big fat positive. And I was like, well, I knew, but now there's no denying it. I hightailed it to the bedroom, showed my husband because I was like, this news is way too big to kind of hold to myself. And I told him, he was super happy, super surprised. because he didn't think it would happen right away. We had agreed that we would start the journey after I came back from my trip. But since him and I are both in our mid-30s, I'm 36, he's the same age as me, we're thinking we're both old and it'll take a while. Well, I didn't think so, actually. Just because of like my family history, I didn't think it would be an issue, really. But he thought, you know, kind of using his medical doctor brain, running the risk assessments and all that stuff, the percentages and everything, he thought it might take a few months. But nope. I was right. So surprised, but very excited and happy. And then, yeah, I was in a state of shock and disbelief that night. Couldn't really sleep after. I got up, I drank some water. I was able to kind of go to sleep for a little bit. And yeah, this is August 1st. So that was almost 4 months ago now. Well, when you hear this, it'll be 4 months since that fateful day. And yeah, I am halfway now. The first couple weeks, I still felt pretty normal. I was going about my days, no real changes. Things started to get a little real around week 6. That's when the nausea started to kick up. That's when the fatigue started to set in. But it was only bad, quote unquote, for those 2 weeks, week 6 to week 8. And when I say bad, I mean if I didn't eat on time, which meant like within every 2 to 3 hours, then the nausea would kick up. And not only did I have to eat, it had to be protein, which makes sense because first trimester, you're essentially building the baby. Second and third trimester, everything that's been built is kind of coming online and then maturing. So you're literally building everything from scratch those first few months. And what are humans made out of primarily? Like as far as getting down to the nitty gritty, it's like proteins, DNA, amino acids. You need your protein to build all your cells and your organs and tissues and everything. So I had to have some type of protein at the ready to eat every couple of hours. And yeah, the fatigue was pretty significant those 2 weeks between 6 and 8. I was still getting through my work days pretty okay. I was starting to get a little behind with like my notes with patients and stuff, but I was able to catch up. Sometimes I would start my workday in my office and end it in my bedroom. Like I would set up my workstation in my bed because I was just that tired, but I had to finish everything. And yeah, those 2 weeks, week 6 to 8, I would say were the toughest, but not even that bad compared to some horror stories you hear about first trimester, honestly. From week 9, the nausea started to ease up. And from week 10, the fatigue started to lift. And honestly, from like week 11, I was pretty much back to myself. Still had to eat relatively frequently, but it didn't have to be like every 2 hours. And yeah, I've been honestly fine since then. I've been fine since then. I've had a couple of incidences where like the food I ate came back up, but I think that's much less about being pregnant and more so that maybe I overshot on my meal and I just ate too much. I don't know. So I had a couple of those incidences, but nothing, no hyperemesis gravidarum, thank God, because I know some women struggle with that. No like debilitating fatigue, like I didn't have to take off work or anything. So I'm really thankful overall for my first trimester experience. I would say the only major thing that changed is because I didn't have as much energy, I wasn't moving as much, I was getting very little steps in. There was 1 week where I did not leave the house. You know, since I work from home anyway, I could go a few days and not leave. Like 2-3 days I can, you know, just be in the house and it's fine because I'm busy and I'm doing things. But because of how tired I was, I it was like a week. It was like Sunday to Sunday or Sunday to Saturday. And I was like, I got to that Saturday. And I was like, no, I need to get out of the house. I went to like a bookstore. I went to a couple bookstores. I think that was the weekend when I bought like Kamala Harris's presidential memoir or something. Like I made it like my mission to get that book that day so I could just be out. But yeah, honestly, from like week 11, I've pretty much felt like myself. If I start to feel uncomfortable or tired, honestly, it's usually because of my food choices, because I try not to eat meat during the week. I'm not always consistent, but I am pretty consistent, I must say. If I do eat meat, it's probably because my husband cooked something and he wants me to taste it. But usually I don't eat meat during the week because I find it slows my digestion and it zaps me of some energy, honestly. Same thing with dairy and like added sugars. So I try to keep it as clean as possible during the week. I let myself indulge on the weekend, try to not do too much. But if there's something on my mind that I want to have, I'll let myself have it. But yeah, during the week, I try to keep it clean and simple as much as possible. So what was I eating, you might wonder? A lot of salad, I started making, after like a couple of years, these little mini egg frittatas, because they're so easy to make. I literally just put a bunch of eggs in a bowl, add all the vegetables, spinach, tomato, red onions, green onions, all the seasonings, sriracha sauce, mix it all up, put them in parchment cups in a muffin tin, bake it for 20 minutes at 400. Usually I'll do two muffin tins, so I'll get anywhere between like 18 to 20, and then that will last me for most of the week. So that's a quick protein option that I can warm up in the air fryer and have. So after like, I couldn't remember the last time I made those, but then I remembered the convenience and nutrition that it afforded me when I made them. So I started again, and I'm still eating them on an almost weekly basis or daily. Some weeks I don't make it, but I've been pretty consistent, honestly, because it's just helped me so much. A lot of salads, a lot of big salads with like beans and avocado. I live on avocado. I have like 1 to 2 avocados a day. Thankfully, my grocery store that I normally go to has them at a decent price, because I go through maybe 10 avocados a week. Seafood in moderation, tofu, smoothies, strawberry, whatever flavor. So that's what kind of gets me through my weeks as far as food is concerned. I still go out. I still enjoy myself. Not having alcohol, obviously, but it's fine. I do miss brie, which is funny because it's not like I was eating brie all the time before I got pregnant. But now I'm like, now I can't have brie because it's a soft cheese. It's so funny. I don't even drink alcohol like that anyway. I probably drink it like once a month, if that. But now I'm like, dang, I would love to have. There's this seasonal Sam Adams beer. It's like in October. I forget the specific flavor. And I'm not a Sam Adams girl, like, ew. But my husband had tried it and he was like, I think you might like this beer. And I tried it. I was like, oh, I really like this. So it's seasonal. It comes out every fall and I couldn't have it this year. So that was a bummer. But whatever. It's not a big deal, obviously. Yeah, I don't feel deprived at all, really. Because I didn't really change much of my diet once I got pregnant. What really changed, honestly, was just the timing of eating, because before I got pregnant, I was intermittent fasting. So I was eating a big bowl of salad once a day, and I would essentially fast anywhere from like 20 to 24 hours and just hydrate through that whole time. And it was effective for me and I felt good. So going from a 20 to 24 hour fast to now eating every 2 to 3 hours was definitely an adjustment. But yeah, I think another thing too that I struggled with a little bit were food aversions, and just my connection to food was dulled for quite a while in the first trimester. A lot of my favorites that, you know, I would love if it was offered to me, I would just be like, no, that doesn't sound good. No, that doesn't sound good. Like my husband would be like, do you want pizza? Do you want tacos? Do you want Thai food? And I'd be like, no, like nothing sounded good. Like I had to push past that mental disconnection between me and food, because it wouldn't sound good to me. But if I put the food to mouth, I would be like, oh my God, this is delicious. So it was definitely more mental than physical, if anything. I didn't really have any food aversions that caused nausea except shrimp, which is so funny because 95% of my salads while I was fasting, the protein was shrimp. And I went from shrimp almost every day to no shrimp first trimester. Just the thought of it, I couldn't think of shrimp or look at shrimp for more than a few seconds, honestly. But that has since gone away with the first trimester. So I'm thankful. I have no food aversions anymore. I'm thankful even that I was able to like eat eggs as a regular source of protein, because I know some people have egg aversions. So that pretty much honestly replaced the shrimp for me. Because like I said, I try not to eat a lot of meat. If I eat meat consistently over several days, I don't feel good. I don't feel good at all. Same with dairy. But yeah, I think that's pretty much it as far as first trimester. It wasn't really that bad. I found out the sex at around the end of the first trimester. I found out it was a boy, but I had one of those experiences that not every mom has, but many do, where they just kind of know what they're having. I had a very strong sense of, I had a strong sense of certainty that he was a boy. And I had a strong sense of certainty before I got pregnant that my first child was going to be a boy. So yeah, when I got pregnant, I just felt it. And then I was, you know, just for fun, I was reading up like the wives' tales and stuff like that. And a lot of it matched the male sex. So yeah, I was like, oh, maybe it'll be a girl. Like I was entertaining the prospect, but deep down I was like, girl, don't even play yourself. That is a boy that you are carrying. And lo and behold, the genetic testing revealed what I already knew. And part of me was holding out for a girl, but I am super excited to have a boy. I'm already so proud of him, like I said. And I can't wait to see him. I got a quick frontal at the anatomy scan of his face. Not the entire face, but like from his nose to his chin. And I was like, he looks like my husband. If there's even any way to know that for sure at this point. But as soon as I saw it, like literally from like his nostrils to his chin, I saw. So I saw his lips for like a split second. And my husband just flashed into my mind. So I was like, okay, he might look like him, which is perfectly fine with me. But yeah, it is quite a mental adjustment, I must say. I recorded a YouTube video last week because, you know, I am trying to document this season and time in my life. I hope to have another baby, but part of me is like, if this was my only child, I'm not even mad. So I'm just like, in the slightest chance, this is my only time that I'll be pregnant. I want to be able to look back at what it was like for me. And I said on that YouTube video that pregnancy takes a toll on you mentally, but not in a bad way. It's like, you know yourself, you've known yourself as this specific type of person for so long, and you are now getting to know yourself as a new person. Because you are about to take on this new identity of mother. And that's something that takes a long time to get used to. My friend and I, who I'm super close with and has known, you know, about the pregnancy since pretty much I got the positive test, was just sharing with me her sentiments. And she said that there's a reason why pregnancy is 9 months, because you need time, especially if it's your first like me, you need time to get used to the idea of a new living entity growing inside you, because it sounds very alien-esque. You gotta be just 100. You gotta be just 100. Even I feel him moving now. I get like these, it sometimes they feel like muscle twitches. Sometimes they're like full on, like tiny kicks, like super tiny kicks. but I feel them. And for the most part, it's cool. But then there are one or two instances where I was like, this is super weird. This is super weird. Like, there's like a living being in my body and it's moving and, you know, it's responding to things. Like, I feel like he already has a personality. A couple days ago, I was just looking at my, was I looking at my belly or just feeling it? I felt a little twitch right now. I pressed on the bottom of my belly. I was holding the bottom of my belly and I pressed up a little bit and then I felt a kick. I felt a little tiny kick on the top of my belly. So I'm like, he already has a personality. He's like, why are you bothering me, Ma? I was sleeping. I like to think, but it just feels so loving and playful and like already having a connection to him and not knowing him yet, not seeing him yet, but starting to like get an idea of who he might be is really like nothing else. I was told that because my placenta is anterior, which means it is on the side of like my belly button. Like some people's placentas are in the back of the uterus, some people's are on the side of the uterus, but mine is in the front. So like when you're looking at me from my face and you're looking at my belly, that's where my placenta is located, like internally. So because of that, my midwife told me that I wouldn't really feel anything until the first trimester, but I'm starting to feel things already. I've been feeling things pretty significantly over the past week. Not all day, every day, but sometimes in the morning, he'll make himself known. And, you know, just occasionally during the day. Sometimes if it's been a few hours and I'm like, what are you doing in there? I'll like tap on my belly or press a little bit and then he'll like move or do like a baby kick or little kick. And I'm like, okay, you're there. I know you're there, but I just want to kind of feel something. So yeah, and I read on Reddit too, like, you know, I'm not the first, nor will I be the last first time mother to be on Reddit, reading about other people's experiences. And there are other mothers who, you know, have been told they have an anterior placenta and that they wouldn't feel anything for a while, but they started feeling their baby as early as like 16 weeks. I wasn't feeling anything then. Definitely getting to the halfway point, I am feeling his presence, which is also something I'm getting used to, but it's starting to feel more normal. And I think honestly, that's what really pregnancy has been for me up to this point, just an ongoing exercise in mental processing, because so many things that are happening are just new. They're just new. I felt something again. He knows I'm talking about him. Yeah. It has been, for the most part, a pretty pleasant experience. Partially to no control of my own or nothing I've done. And partially also too, because I think since I've gotten all of my energy back, I would say, I have been more intentional with movement. My favorite way to move is just walking outside. I do have a treadmill in my apartment, you know, that I get on and watch YouTube maybe one or two times a week, but it's not the same as being outside and breathing outside air and, you know, seeing the people walking their dogs and looking at all the houses and, you know, just being outside in the world. So I've been doing a lot more walking. The temperatures are, you know, kind of going down here in Chicago, but honestly, I like cold weather walks. I never thought that would be me. But as long as I'm properly bundled up, the gloves, the hat, the scarf, the coat, the socks, everything, as long as I'm properly dressed, I can walk outside as long as it's like above 30, as long as it's above freezing. The first few minutes are tough, but then you warm up and it just feels good to me. So I'm hoping to continue walking through winter, weather permitting, you know, we don't have any crazy snowstorms or anything like that. So that's been super helpful.
Stretching has been also helpful. Yoga has been helpful. I love yoga with Adrienne on YouTube, so I've been using her. Some Peloton yoga and stretching and walking workouts too. Some light, very light strength training. I've only done that once or twice at this point, but, you know, better than nothing. And I think all of that has been helping just to feel good in my body, trying to stay hydrated. That is hard because as he gets bigger, my space, my internal space as far as like stomach and everything else is getting a little smaller. So it's hard to get all the water I need, but when I do, I feel great. Like I hit my water goal yesterday. And for someone with my height and stature, it's like 100 ounces a day, which can be tough to get sometimes, but I hit it yesterday and I felt really great. And yeah, still going out. Since I have my energy back, I've been going out. I went to the Bridgeport Art Studios yesterday, the 21st, because they do this event every month where like all the artists that have studios in the building open, not all, but many of them open up their studios and then the public can come and see their artwork and like their unfinished work. And it's super, super cool. So I did that yesterday along with like getting my nails done and eyebrows and everything like that. I've been going out with friends. I went to see The Lion King on Broadway. I went to see Kev on stage. I've been just more social and it's felt good. And I think a lot of this, it's not just one thing. I think it's just all these things that are contributing to having a good experience so far. And I'm hoping that, you know, third trimester won't be much different. I know he's gonna get bigger. I know things might be a little bit more difficult, but I'm hoping to still keep a degree of activity going and keep some social activities going for me, because I think all of that is really just helping with my overall mental state. I've been more creative as of late. Not this past week though, because that's been busy, but like I'm working on art pieces. I'm drawing and coloring in my sketchbook. And all of that has been really grounding and affirming for me. Because one thing, I mean, I've talked about creativity on this podcast, but the older I get, the more important it is to me. And I was just thinking about how no one really knows me as an artist. And I think that has a lot to do with just how I grew up, you know, the direction I was steered into as a daughter of immigrants, Nigerian parents who, you know, saw the security and dependability of the healthcare professions and steered me into it. And it's not something I regret at all. It affords me a stable and comfortable living. But I do feel like I'm an artist at heart. I loved art. It was my favorite class in elementary school. I still remember, I can see my elementary school art teacher's face right now. I don't remember her name, sadly, but I remember her face and her personality. She had like a very fun walk. And I remember being in the fashion club in high school and having like this like little portfolio at home where I would draw, you know, different things. And, you know, I separated from that for a long time, you know, teenagehood into adulthood, college, early career, things like that. But now that I am settled to a larger degree, I've really been trying to connect back to that over the past couple of years. And I'm super thankful for the creative group that I'm a part of that meets on a monthly basis, because that offers me more encouragement. And yeah, I am just thinking about how like my friends, my family, they don't know me to be an artist, but my baby, my kids, that is one area. Those are individuals who can grow up and know me in that way. They can know me as an artist, amongst other things, but it will be an identity that they don't find unusual to connect me with. So kind of thinking about that, I'm like, my kids can grow up to know me as an artist and see my pieces, you know, in the house, see me working on things, see the process, maybe do a show one day. Like, I love the idea of almost, I don't want to say rebrand, but that's the word that's coming to me. Just kind of, there's a specific word I'm looking for, but as far as the identities that I espouse, they can know me as one of that, as they can know their mom to be an artist and have that be one of them. And it won't be weird. You know, it'll be like, oh, what does your mom do? Like if someone's asked them, oh, she's an artist. And they'll be like, oh, cool. Like they won't know what a psychiatric nurse practitioner is. And I feel like that prospect is just so cool. She's an artist. She paints. She draws. She makes pictures. The thought of that just thrills me. Yeah. And then I hope to be that mom that like takes her kids to art shows like the one I went to yesterday. Like I saw a couple with like a baby who could not have been more than a month, maybe 6 weeks. And they were just, you know, carrying him through the installations and everything. And I just thought that was amazing. There were some other parents that brought older children in strollers. And I'm just like, this is the life I want to live with my kid. You know, not that everything in my life changes, but that I integrate him into the things that are already happening and that I love already. So maybe hopefully he develops a love for it too. But yeah, as far as prenatal care goes, I mentioned that I have a midwife. She has been great. I started with her early this year when I had a preconception counseling appointment in early spring. And she has been my primary provider through the pregnancy so far, and she has been really great. I really appreciate her insight and expertise and just listening to me, because not every pregnant patient gets that experience, especially Black women. Many times aren't listened to by their providers if they're pregnant. There was a prescription that she put in for me, aspirin, because it's often prescribed prophylactically for women to prevent preeclampsia. And she suggested it for me, so I started it. And I took it a couple of times, and I did not feel good at all. My lower extremities would swell, and I would feel super heavy. So at the next appointment, I told her about it. I was like, I know you put me on this aspirin, but this is how I feel while I'm on it. And then I don't take it the next day, and then those symptoms disappear, you know, barring any other changes. And she was like, okay, you know what? Listen to your body. If the aspirin is not cooperating with you, then don't take it. So I was just so appreciative to her for listening to me, because some other providers may have just kind of stuck to the results of the risk assessment, like your advanced maternal age. You know, I do have a history of hypertension in my family. Not many have it, but a couple. So they might have been like, you know, I strongly urge you to continue taking it. You know, we don't want you to have any issues in third trimester. But she was like, you know what? You are taking care of yourself. You are active. Your blood pressure is perfect. If we need to revisit the aspirin down the line, you know, because of anything, you know, we might have to have that conversation. But for now, you can stop it. And I was really appreciative that she just listened to me. And yes, she's a Black woman. I don't know if I mentioned that. She's a Black female midwife. So my care so far, I have been very pleased with. And my hope for labor and delivery is to labor for as long as possible at home and be in the hospital for the least amount of time possible. My last prenatal appointment, we discussed, you know, pain alleviation options, epidural, nitrous gas, some other pain options. And I'm still thinking that through. Ideally for me, I would like to forego the epidural, but I don't know how I'll feel in the moment, but we'll see. I am trying to do the work to prepare myself, but you won't know in the moment. So those are my hopes. And I don't think it's impossible. I don't think it's even something that is unrealistic to hope for. To have a birth that's unmedicated, to have a labor that is not prolonged, that is effective, and maybe uncomfortable or painful, but is tolerable. And to have a happy, healthy baby on the other side. So I think some takeaways I want to make sure I share on this episode is you can have a great pregnancy. Unfortunately, not everyone does, but many women have good first trimesters. Like I said, the worst of it was week 6 to 8. And even then, I was still hanging in. But some people are like, oh, first trimester, get ready. Like, it's just so heart-wrenching or debilitating or whatever. Some people have decent first trimesters and then just breeze through. So don't automatically think that if you get pregnant that you're just going to be horrible and in a horrible state. I encourage aspiring parents not to just automatically resign to the fact that pregnancy is going to be a miserable experience. That's not what I'm having. It's actually been pretty great. And also too, for women who are aspiring to be mothers, who are maybe my age or a little younger or older, I want to encourage you not to get worked up or worry that you can't have kids unless you absolutely have to be concerned, because I think they stress more than I think is necessary the risk and the chances of infertility and not getting pregnant the older we get. But there was no issue in conceiving this baby for me. When I was ready, it happened. I'm telling you, 2 weeks later after my trip, I was pregnant. And I have friends, almost all of my close friends, if not all, have had their first kid in their 30s and had no issues. Maybe we're trying for a few months, but it never got to a situation where they were like a year out of trying and hadn't had any progress or, you know, pregnancy. I think women oftentimes are scared into becoming moms sooner than they would like because the proverbial clock is ticking. And it's a real thing, but I think there is a lot more time that we have than we're made to think. My godmother had her first child at 52. Granted, she's a special case, but there are women out here that, like me, got married, decided to wait, and when they were finally ready, it happened for them. And I encourage other women to believe it can happen for them like that too. Just because you are quote unquote advanced maternal age does not mean you're going to have trouble getting pregnant. I think the odds for me at my age were like less than 30% at first attempt, but it wasn't an issue at all. So those are two takeaways I want to offer aspiring parents. Don't dread the first trimester. It might not be that bad for you. And don't worry about fertility unless you absolutely have to. And you know, you really have to go based off of your family history and what you know to be true for yourself. Maybe you do have to take some proactive measures to increase your chances. But if you have really no reason to worry, then I don't encourage you to worry. I was never worried. Because I'm just thinking about my mom, the female members of my family, my grandmother had kids into their 30s and 40s. And I was just like, I'm going to be fine. And here I am. So, you know, that's not the case for everybody. But I just want to stress again that we're made to think that we hit 30 and 35 and 40 and there's no more hope. I strongly push back against that. I think many women my age, a little younger, a little older, can get pregnant with ease if that's what they decide they want to do, and can have beautiful experiences through the journey. So yeah, that's it, guys. I am in a really good place. I'm trying to document via video, via journaling. I'm just trying to let myself feel the emotions. Sometimes the emotions move me to tears sometimes, because hormones are real. But if I was living any other outcome right now, I don't think I'd be as happy as I am. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. I'm going to end it here. Thank you so much for listening, as always. If you're watching on YouTube, thank you so much. And I'm very sorry for the shifting shadow in the video. It's because of the sun. You know, there's not much I can do about that. Maybe there is, but I wasn't going to get up or do anything. I appreciate you guys. Thank you for listening to this podcast, no matter how many minutes it has been or seconds. If you've ever even pressed play, it means the world to me. I feel like this has been the best year for the podcast yet. I mean, we won a freaking award. And I just feel really proud. I feel proud of all the content I've put out, but I am particularly proud of the content I put out this year. And I think the last episode of this year will just kind of be a recap of sorts. It'll probably just be another chatty episode like this one. And we'll kind of see how that pans out. But yeah, please share, please recommend. If you are listening and you are thinking of a person, a woman, whoever, who could benefit from my pregnancy journey so far, share this episode with them. Rate and review on your preferred listening platform. Give your girl 5 stars. You know we're worth it. Reach out to me if you have any questions about what I shared today or any other past episodes. contact@thelettersandlayers.com. And I will talk to y'all on the next episode. Appreciate you. Thank you so much. And take care. Bye.